Connectability Radio presents the DSTO Information Series, Major Life Transitions, held May 14, 2009. From Family Home to New Home, moderated by Francis McNeil, with panelists Michael Christmas, Rick Nelson, Linda Rosenbaum, and Laura Starrett.
It's 11:30, so I guess we'll get started. The session lasts from 11:30 until 12:30. And I'd like to welcome you to From Family Home to New Home. This is the second session of three that fits with the theme of life transitions. So this is a theme that's and a session that's kind of hard to speak to about, you know, that big move from family home into a home of your own. So for people who have an intellectual disability, trying to search out what is that right home for me, and then having the support of family and community in order to find that family home or their new home. So we're really pleased to have the panelists that we have here today who are willing to come and speak about their experiences. We have Rick Nelson, who felt ready to live on his own. His family was a little bit more hesitant, wasn't quite sure if Rick would have all the supports that he would need to live in his own living situation. And through planning, looking at what he wanted, looking at the kinds of supports that would help him to be successful in a living situation, and there was an opportunity that came up. So Rick was very anxious to take it and wanted to talk about supports that needed to be there and that could be there, then his family was able to come along a little bit more, right, in terms of supporting. Rick's brother was going to join us, but unfortunately had a work conflict, so wasn't able to come today. So we invited Laura, who manages the supports at Rick's apartment. And so she's come to support Rick on the panel today. We have Michael at the end. Hi, Michael. And Michael has lived in a couple of different living situations, home situations. There was one before the one that he's in now. And the last home situation didn't work as well for you as this one, is my understanding. Right, Michael? So Michael's going to talk a little bit about what the home situation looks like. And his mother, Linda, is here to share her experiences and her story. I'm sure many of you, how many parents do we have in the room? Great. How many self-advocates or advocates do we have in the room? People who are wanting to move out on their own? All right. Okay, so hopefully you get different sides of the story where, you know, you'll hear from Rick, who wanted to move out and his family was worried about the supports. And then you'll hear from Linda and Michael where the family felt ready for the move. And Michael talked about being independent, but it took a little bit more to make that change from home life to his own home, outside of the home. So the other thing is that we're hoping is that the panel can be very honest about their experiences. I'm sure many of you know that it's not easy. This is not an easy thing to plan for. It's not an easy change to make. And the process itself is sometimes not easy for people. And so Linda's going to help in speaking a little bit to sort of the ups and downs. Okay. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask the panel some questions, and they're going to answer the questions. And then once we're done, then we're going to open it up for you to ask questions of them as well. Okay? So if you don't mind just sort of writing down your questions and holding them until the end, that would be great. Sure, I covered everything? Okay. So why don't we start? Michael, is it okay if we start with you? Okay. And can you tell people what your home life is like now? Can you, I'm going to come to this side. Can you talk a little bit about that right now?
Well, right now I'm living at a semi-independent living room. She's there's two other people there, and always at least one staff at all times. So, the rooms that I have is, I have a whole separate room myself, which is pretty convenient. And then, it's quite a nice place there.
So you have the second floor to yourself in this house?
And then I've got one other guy living above me and one the other.
Okay, so they're in their own apartments in this house as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So in your own apartment, do you have kitchen, everything?
It's kitchen.
Complete apartment.
Bathroom.
Okay. And who are the other, you live with a couple of other people?
Yeah.
In this home?
Yeah.
And who are in their apartments?
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, how do you like it?
So far, it's been a little late.
Okay. And how long have you been there?
A year.
A year now. So far, so good.
Okay.
And better than the last
situation.
Rick, can I ask you to do the same thing? Talk about, you know, your home life right now, what it looks like?
I'm there for quite a while now. And it's very wonderful in my house. And I don't have no problem. My house. I have no problem, and I'm going to say that I was on the problem until I feel like I'm ready to move more as often as possible. Right? And when I'm there now, I have one co-family. My brothers and my sister coaching me along to go out, even if I'm ready to go as quick as possible, like what they do. Because they did as quick as they. As possible, because they're the one time in life, right? And they teach me how to do it as well.
So you're living in an apartment with another gentleman?
Yeah.
And your family now is very supportive.
And they love me as well.
Yeah, love you a lot, telling you to get out, do things, which is great.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you recall how long it's been now between the two of you?
Going 3 years.
3 years this July.
3 years. Okay, great. Thank you. For all of you, just wondering about how did you know when it was time? So maybe I'll start with you, Linda, about how you knew that it was time for Michael to sort of start branching out. And I know this is kind of twice, because there was like the first living situation, and then there was this the second one. So I wonder if you could speak to that.
Well, Michael was showing signs that he wanted to be a little bit more independent. And I think there was a sense that he felt he could live completely on his own. And my husband and I, we had our concerns, because we felt that he needed some support. On the other hand, we felt that he deserved a chance to see if he could live on his own. We thought we would give it a try. And we actually went with him and looked around, and we rented an apartment near where we live so that we would be close by and provide some of the supports that we knew he needed, but he didn't really think he needed, quite honestly. So we did that. It was a very nice apartment. It was a basement apartment. We helped him set up and buy a few things and so on. I think it's fair to say it didn't work out like Michael had hoped. I think Michael was fine with it, but there were things like needing to take his meds in the morning, and that we just really weren't sure that was happening, that he was doing that on his own. We had to do some of the cleaning up, taking the garbage out. There was a lot of responsibility that we had to take. And on one hand, I mean, I think you were quite happy there. I think Michael loved it. I think
garbage.
Yeah, really. and come wash the dishes. So I think it worked out better for Michael than it was working out for us. And we But we gave him the opportunity, and I think he really deserved that. And with discussion, I think we explained to him that it wasn't going to work. Also, you know, Michael was vulnerable, and I think that, like every parent, we were just worried about him. Michael tends to keep to himself a lot, so it wasn't as if he was, you know, going out till all hours at night, and we had to worry about that. But still, we had our concerns, and through discussion, we decided that we would try to find some support, some place that where he could still have some independence and have some support. And I have to say, we had been on a waiting list for years, in fact, for something to come up. And nothing had come up for a long time. I don't know how much you want me to talk about this now.
I wonder how, what made the difference in the second time around that made it much more successful for all of you?
Well, we eventually, and it took a lot of advocacy, this is something that we had to really work hard to work our way up on this waiting list. And we did get a call from Community Living saying that there was a semi-independent living place available. And we talked to Michael about it. He was interested, but we had to go through an interview process. I think they needed to interview us to see if we were going to be there to provide some support for Michael. But Michael had to be interviewed to see whether he was the kind of person who could get along with the other two people in the house, that there would be a fit, which really makes sense. And I think Michael seemed really, it's a very nice house. It's on Indian Grove in the west end of the city by High Park. It was a nice house. Michael liked the space. And, you know, my husband and I just sort of sat there while they asked Michael a lot of questions, and he really responded. It was clear that Michael seemed to want this place. They interviewed some other people, so it was going to be a choice. And we were lucky that Michael got the place. And there's what the difference is that he can be on his own a lot. He has his own bedroom. He has his own little living room where he's growing plants, and he has a TV. But there's support. There's people who make sure he has his meds every morning that he needs. There's somebody there. The person who lives downstairs is much higher needs than Michael. So in this particular building, there happens to be a person there 24 hours. Though Michael might not need the 24-hour support, but it's great for a parent. And I think you like it, too, to know that somebody always around. Plus, because they have to make dinner for the person who lives downstairs, Michael gets his dinner made. And that's very nice for him. But the staff take him out. He does his grocery shopping. And, you know, he has support, but it's not full-time, and he has independence. We like it because we feel he's safe, and we know he's being looked after. And, you know, the staff, it's community living. The staff are great. You can see there's serious supervision and accountability and responsibility, and that means all the world to us.
So I just want to check with Michael about, so we've heard what mom likes about, you know, what your mother likes about your farm. What do you like about it?
Personally, I like having space myself. I've got to worry about too many people.
Don't have to worry about too many people, got your own space, okay. Can people hear okay? Is it okay if I keep helping out in terms of, okay. Okay. So your own space and...
not too many people.
Not too many people. Okay, so is there anything else that you really like about your place?
It's fairly large, so I'm not very...
Large space. Okay. You can move around a bit. What about the neighborhood?
Nice
area. So Michael lives around the Indian Grove area, so it's in the west end of Toronto. Okay. So just to let people know that Michael lives in a home that used to be a group home, but actually now sort of split into apartments in the home and supported, so that people have, like Michael said, people have their own space. That's great. Anything else, Michael, to add?
About the staff, how does it work? The staff is.
They're nice.
Yes.
So it's pretty important about who works with you and who supports you. Great. Thank you. Rick, how did you know it was time?
Well, I know it's because I talked to Lauren, right? And my brother is that I learned how to cook at my home, do a dirt anything. And my brother talked to Laura, and he was my dad. I didn't have time to go on my own, so being able to together plans to leave out on my own. So he just put the plan together. So to just step in the next step on. So my brother was not in the way long about it. He didn't want to do it. And talked to her about it. And she and him were the one who look about the plan. Right? So I think he was the one who really put the plan together. So I just thanked him about it, right? And Laura is the main one who looked about it. Yeah.
So the support of your brother helped a lot.
Yeah, he was the main person.
He was the main person who really supported you.
Yeah.
So you had brothers and sisters.
Before I left. I was before I left my home. Before I left my home. My sister left, right? And my other sister left. And that, my brother, he had left. And I was the last one to leave. So that gave me a determination to take another step to it. So, determination to leave as well.
I just want to make sure people hear that. So Rick has two sisters and a brother.
Yeah.
And so what was happening was slowly but surely one sister left, the next sister left the home, the brother left the home. So for Rick, he felt like it was his chance and he wanted the opportunity to move out and became determined to move out on his own.
That's why I had to learn something at home.
Okay.
And that's why I had to learn something at home. So something before you can learn, you have to learn how to be independent on your own and teach yourself all these things before you have to jump into anything else.
So I wonder if you could talk about what were some of the things that you had to learn how to cook.
You have to learn to cook. You have to learn how to take care of yourself, right? Cleaning, going groceries and all these things. Before you clean, take care of yourself, go to your groceries. I never always did these things, but my mom teach me these things before I go out in the world. And so I don't need it. I want to go out in the world, I don't do anything on it. If I have to, ask somebody, I can do it all by myself. So when I come to sibling out there, if I have to help me, I can do everything by myself. And I ask nobody, I can do everything by myself. So when Laura, I asked the Lord, let me find a place now. I could do anything by myself, but I asked nobody.
Okay,
so if I asked anybody, I could just take cabins and bring it by myself.
So I heard a couple of things in there. So I heard that it was really important to know how to cook and how to grocery shop, and you mentioned taking a cab to go grocery shop. And your mom taught you those things while you were at home, so to help all the more that you'd be able to do it once you moved out of the home. And you mentioned about new home.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
but,
okay.
Yeah, but before I leave, I had to make a goal, right?
Right.
To make a goal, I had to make a plan to step out, right? I had to make the plan to step. That step is to make a goal to make whatever I need to do to make a goal to make the next step to go into civil, right? Because Laura is the one that made that goal for me to go out.
Okay.
Because the goal is more important. It is like to again, life. Yeah, right? So that is the main thing. Yeah.
So
it's my brother who was the one who helped me do that as well.
So it was really important to have your brother's support
to help me.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And to have a plan for things that you want to do.
The next step.
That's what I thought I was hearing when you mentioned new home. You're thinking of the next step in life right now.
Yeah.
So you've been here for 3 years and living with this roommate.
Yeah,
so
roommate.
What's the next step you're thinking of now?
The next step is the next step is to keep it going, to keep my life to another level. Another level is just like
are you thinking of another living situation? Or then a different person?
No, not
necessarily.
Yeah, but that's another apartment, but I have to be set for another apartment. But it's just like this is have a half a make another apartment, but that's that apartment, but it's where I'm gonna live in that apartment.
Right.
Yeah, see,
so
that's another goal,
right.
But that's a long way by myself.
Okay.
By myself. That's
so the next step for you is you're with a roommate, now you're thinking the next
without
step
is
on
without
a roommate.
Without
a roommate. Okay.
That's the next goal I have to look about.
Okay, so that's your next goal.
That's my next goal.
Right.
On my own.
Okay.
With a roommate.
So how do you decide what type of living situation? How do you decide what that's going to look like?
I have to be more I have to be more trustworthy to myself, more confidence, more, let's say, I have to come home, be more, let's say, I got to be more stronger, say, Rick, I got to do this, I have to be stronger, be dependent, more, get when I come home, I have to be, when I come from work, I gotta put this in place. I have to be get my stuff already. I have to be get time. I can't feel eight. I gotta be home on time. Do this for myself. I can't fool around with my friends. I gotta be home, clean my house, get everything on set. I have to be.
So you want to make sure that you're taking care of your house.
Yeah. Can't fool around. I just have to be everything in here.
Hopefully, you can fool around a little bit.
No. Everything has to be on time. Then later on, you can fool around. Yeah?
Once you're on your own.
Exactly.
Okay. Is it okay if I ask Laura a question?
Go ahead.
I wonder if you could speak a little bit to Rick talking about this next move and this next goal in his life. What is the support team? How are they approaching that with Rick? How are they supporting him?
Well, Rick has been mentioning it occasionally. Rick has been talking about possibly moving out on his own into his own apartment for a little bit, and he's mentioned it to his family, and I think correct me if I'm wrong, but the sense that I got, that I have right now is the family is sort of back where they were initially when Rick was moving out initially, and they're concerned that that the support that they feel he needs is going to be in place, sufficient, reliable, sustainable, to keep him safe. So at this point, I don't think the family wants to talk too much about it right now. So it's a bit, we're supporting Rick step by step to approach the subject again with the family, with his brother and his mom. And so that requires probably a plan, like we did with you the first time, right? And so that's the next step that we're at, is to see if we can, the family would sit down with Rick and talk about it openly and figure out what that would look like.
So would the plan entail listening to some of those, what are the concerns of Rick's family, and sort of trying to work out how to allay those fears?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I know we talked a little bit about how to decide on the living situation. I'm wondering about how you sort of made the move into the apartment. When I know you mentioned about going out and meeting, seeing this apartment, Michael, meeting people who live there, deciding whether you liked it or not, and they deciding, you know, what they thought about living with you in the same area. So when it happened, like, how did the actual transition into the home happen?
Physically or emotionally?
Yeah. Well, both, actually. I thought emotionally is more important than physically.
Yeah, it was a very big thing emotionally. I don't even remember the physical part. I think we did a lot of packing, and we had to buy a bit of furniture, and I remember, you know, Michael was sort of, part of Michael, you know, I'm going to speak for you, but you can contradict me. Part of Michael really wanted to be at home, and it wasn't easy. And we were in Canadian Tire buying a bunch of things that we needed for the kitchen and so on. And I remember seeing an inexpensive leather reclining chair. And I thought, Michael would love this to watch television. And it was a bribe for sure. There was no doubt about it, because there was no way, you know, he was going to have one at home. And I said, Michael, if you really want this chair, we'll buy it for you, because he had a living room, and we you know, had to fill it up, and we tried to do things to make this place special for him. So physically, we had to move a lot of things in, and you know, bed, mattress, all that kind of stuff. Emotionally, it was really hard. I mean, part of us knew it was time. We had needs for Michael to move on. Michael had needs to move on. But it was hard. I mean, I remember crying, you know, being in the house. The place was great. People were nice, very sweet. And, the other person upstairs was moving in at the same time. And, you know, I brought some cakes, some cookies, and tried to make it a, you know, Michael's sister came, and we tried to make it a festive, nice time. But it was very hard. It was tough in the first nights, and you know, he's gone alone, what's he going to do and all that. He does come home every weekend. He is home Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And he's very good about going. I always worry, well, what's it going to be like going, you know, because he loves being at home. What's it going to be like going back on Sunday nights? But Michael seems very clear that that's his home and that's where he goes. It's hard on us sometimes. When he leaves, it's complex. It's, you know, it's not all easy. And as I say, the situation is really good. We know he's safe. Michael loves plants. He keeps buying his cacti and plants, and we're always getting him new soil and pots. And you know, he takes care of certain things he doesn't take care of. But, you know, there's a sense of real connectedness there. But again, he loves coming home. And, you know, there's a lot of back and forth. The nice thing about the community living is that they always keep track of him. If he's home later on Sunday nights and they're expecting him, they always call, you know, where's Michael? Because he takes public transit from, we live on Toronto Island, in fact, so it makes things even more complicated. You know, Michael has to take a boat into the city, and then he takes public transit back to Indian Grove. They always check up. Sometimes we forget, and if he has a doctor's appointment on a Monday morning or something, he'll stay overnight. And the odd time, we've forgotten to call them to say he's sleeping over. And they always call, and we thank them, you know, always for being so responsible. I don't know, does that answer whatever it was you asked me?
How did you find the change into your new apartment, Michael? How did you?
Pretty smoothly.
Yeah. What do you think made it go smoothly?
was interested in moving out of my own, starting to see if I could live out of my own thing.
So just being feeling like, you know, with the support, you were ready to move out on your own, so that helped make it smooth.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. I'm wondering about advice that you would give to people in the room about if they're thinking about a move, talking about it. What advice would you give them based on your experience? Good and bad.
Yeah. I think I found out a long time, many years before the move, that Michael really, really needed an advocate. I wasn't, you know, we weren't just mothers and fathers. We really had to fight to get Michael what he needed. And there's, you know, I don't think there's any evil bureaucrats out there or evil social service workers, but they don't necessarily know and understand the situations that you're living with, what your child's needs are, what your needs are. And there's a lot of rules and guidelines that have been created that, in my personal opinion, don't fit reality whatsoever in terms of what a person's functioning needs are as opposed to what their IQ is, and certain guidelines are related to these things. I also feel that the better caring, loving parents you are, sometimes that stands in your way of getting a placement for the child, because there's so many children, people, youths, young adults needing placement, that if a child has a loving home, in some ways they're considered much less needing of a place outside of the home. I am being brutally honest here. So I think you really, so, you know, there's waiting lists, and I don't know the inner workings of all the bureaucracies and how priorities and so on are determined, but I think you really, really, really have to fight for your child, you know, never in a way that you alienate the people that you need to work with. But you have to make those phone calls, and you have to follow up, and you have to you just have to make the world know that you're there, and you know that you love your child, but these are the needs. And I also checked out some, I don't know if they're called private group homes, just I don't know what they were. You know, I was looking for places. We had been on waiting lists for years with no movement, and I was looking around at some places, and I found them very depressing and very disturbing. I mean, you know, there really are some places that are better than other places, and you want the best for your child, and you want to make sure that the people who are looking after them are accountable to some higher authority, and you know, some staff are nicer than others. So I just think you have to really, really pay attention. And you know, I keep saying advocacy, but it really means fight in many situations. Maybe people wouldn't have the same problems that we did, but I found that you have to really fight for your child. And again, you know, do it in a way that you're not alienating the world, but fight.
So making sure people hear your story, know your story.
Yeah, that they really understand. In our case, I found that there's a lot of diagnoses that have stereotypes attached to them, and a lot of people were trained many, many years ago in their fields, and there's been a lot of new information that of particular diagnoses and prognoses and so on. And I think that there are stereotypes that abound, and I found out that it's much better to talk about, it was better to talk about Michael as the person he was and is and what he's like than to use any of the diagnoses that have been placed on him, because I saw doors close immediately, and it made me really angry until I realized this wasn't working. I did what I thought I was supposed to do. So I found doors open. You know, when I talked about all the wonderful qualities that Michael has, you know, along with some of his functioning difficulties, and that helped enormously. And I think it probably helped us get this placement that we have today.
Okay. So staying in touch with people, making sure people, you know your family member, know who they are beyond the diagnosis.
Yeah.
Okay. For Rick and Laura, what advice would you give? What advice would you give to someone who wants to move out on their own?
Me, if they want to move on their own, you try to guide them. Just don't take it one step at a time. Don't.
Can you speak a little louder? You're saying really great stuff.
Don't push them. Just come to this. Let them guide them. Don't push them. Just take it. Push them. Let them one step at a time. Don't push them. Let's say don't get eager at the problem. Just take it one day at a time. It's not an ego problem. It's just like a. It's a nice. It's just like it's not a hard thing up there. It's a nice. It's a nice thing out there, but whatever you do, you just do everything nice and easy. You don't rush everything you do. You plan what you have to do, because you do it one step at a time. You understand me? You don't rush everything. Everything you have to do one step. Before you do it, you plan things. You don't go ahead and do things, you plan it. Or everything you do, you don't do once at a time. You plan things. Before you go out, if you don't do everything at all, you go and do it willingly. Before you do it, you go ahead and plan it, because it's not an easy road out there. Because to me, before I do it, you set a goal. Before I go, you don't go ahead and before I take a step, you don't go out and don't have a goal, don't have a plan without making a and don't have a way maker for you, because it's just gonna be a stumbling block. Yeah, and you fall right down. You gotta have a way maker.
You told me once about never giving up.
Yeah, but give up, you know.
You ever give up?
Yeah. But if you don't have, so we will give up. But you have to have a remit. So that's the way I see. But you have to have a remit.
So you have to have a plan. I mean, you could want it and be really determined. Don't give up. But it's good to have a plan and know what it is that you want. And, okay.
It's just like a goal.
Okay.
You
set
the
goal. Be clear on the goal.
Yeah, okay. Set the goal.
And I'm just going to add to that, because I think, you know, the reality is, and you hear from Linda, Michael and Linda's experience, is that your name or your son or daughter's name or your family member's name is on the waiting list. And the reality is that when you get that call, you don't know what that place looks like. You know that you've sort of talked a little bit about what your son or daughter, what you need. And so when you get the call, you're not absolutely sure whether it meets what you need. So what I hear from Rick, and what I believe also is true, is that it's really good to have a plan before you get that call, so that you've sat down, you've talked about, you know, what is it that we want here, what are the kind of supports that would be needed for that situation to actually happen. And don't think about what supports are available. Think about what supports you need, and then you can go from there. But it's good to have that plan, so that when you get that phone call, at least when you go out and see places, or you meet the people and you see the people, at least you have some sense of what is it that you're hoping for, what's the ideal, who are the kind of people that you want to live with, right? How many people, what kind of environment, what do you hope the staff are like? So that when you go out and meet people, you have something to compare to. Sometimes it's really hard when you get that call and you just go out and you haven't seen anything beforehand, or you haven't sort of put anything to paper in terms of what you wanted. You're just kind of, that's what you're looking at. It's just what you go out and see. So that's what I hear from Rick and from Michael and Linda in terms of, you know, go out and have a look and see what's out there. Talk to people and make sure, talk to people who are in different living situations, who have their own home, ask what it's like, what are the things you need to know, and then talking to people attached to who are looking at waiting lists and making sure that they know your story and they know what's changed, if anything has changed in your situation. Okay? Laura, is there anything to add to that?
Well, I think just from...
Louder.
Oh, sorry. Just to add to the whole planning piece, thinking back to the day that I sat around Rick's kitchen table at his mom's house with his brother and his stepdad, your dad, it was a new experience for them because they hadn't done any formal planning up until that moment, and neither had Rick really, because and it became very obvious that Rick had never actually been asked a lot of the questions that we were asking, and we were asking him to dream, and that was a new concept, and you struggled with that for a little bit of the planning session, and then once you understood what we were talking about, then he was really sharing his most inner thoughts and feelings about where he wanted to live, who he wanted to live with, what he wanted in his apartment. I'll never forget, you said you wanted 5 bookshelves, and that was important to you because you had a lot of stuff and you needed somewhere to put it. So, but it was a really interesting time, and it was a real honor for me to be part of it, because his family and him were really sharing, having a really good, honest conversation about what Rick wanted. And, you know, that was just the first step. And obviously now 3 years into it, he's living in his own apartment. There's been little bumps along the way, of course, but that's life, right? And you just take everyone as they come and you work through it.
And your dream came true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry, I have to wrap it up. And thank you. I want to thank so much Michael and Linda and Rick and Laura for sharing their stories and helping us to think about the process a little bit.